It is our great pleasure today to continue this study in the great book of Ezekiel. We're in the second chapter, and last time we left off at the third verse. In this third verse, he's telling Ezekiel that his job is going to be a hard job. He said, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. Verse 4, they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Impudent means that they are self-will. They have boldness. They do not have any respect for me. They're going to go their own way. They're impudent children. Now, we think of children, you know, as being somebody who is not of age yet. But these are adults who are acting like children. They're acting like someone who is rebelling against their parents. And he says they're stiff-hearted. That is, they're not receptive to my message or to my desire. They are not pliable. I cannot mold them into the shape I want them to be in. They're stiff-hearted. And he said, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. This is the kind of people you're going to, Ezekiel. You're going to be in a hard field. You're not going to be going to a receptive people, to ones who are going to welcome you with open arms, because you have a message they're not going to like to hear. Your message is going to be about their destruction. Your message is going to be about the fact that they've been so disobedient and they're so displeasing unto me till I no longer can let them exist as a nation. And their captivity is not going to be shortened. They're going to have to stay the full length of the time that I require for them to have repentance. They must have repentance first, and then they're going to have release from captivity following that, and only after they do fully repent. And we need to note here that today, our success is not necessarily measured in whether or not the people have been receptive to our message. It's not measured in whether or not we bring forth a lot of fruit in the field in which we labor. Our success is measured by whether or not we have been a faithful representative of God, whether or not we've lived the kind of a life that we should live, whether or not we've taught the kind of message we should teach in word and in deed, and whether or not we have accurately reflected the message of God, so that we can say, Thus saith the Lord God. Our message comes from God. Our life comes from God. And it is reflected then among those whom we dwell, and it may not be received by them. They may not be pleased with it. They may not think very highly of us for it. But nevertheless, that is no deterrent to us if we're going to be faithful children of God. And so it was with Ezekiel. Ezekiel was going to people that were stiff-hearted, an impotent people, a people who were still rebellious against God even to this very day. And he was going to have to say some things to them that they wouldn't like to hear. They're going to have to bring about some changes. And they didn't want to hear about these changes that they had to bring about. In verse 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear for their rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now, whether or not the people heard Ezekiel, that was their business. That was their responsibility. It wasn't Ezekiel's responsibility for them to decide to hear or not to hear. His responsibility was to present the word and to let them be able to say, when it was all over, that they would know that there had been a prophet among them. Now, that was Ezekiel's job, for the people to know that there had been a prophet among them. Whether they have received him or not was not Ezekiel's responsibility. And true it is with us today. If the people can just know that there's been a prophet among them, that is, there's been somebody among them who has given them this message. They may not like the message, they may have never received the message, but yet they will know that the message was given. And that's what's important. There's been a prophet among them. And that's what God wanted Ezekiel here to do as his responsibility, just simply work in such a way that the people could not say that they hadn't heard, hadn't been taught, for there had been a prophet among them. So as we give our message today, and although it's not a popular message, we talk about such things as not observing the religious holidays, such things as getting out of idolatry and coming away from the modern-day Babylon and the apostate church. And these are very unpopular messages. These step on people's toes, something fierce. And they don't like to hear this because it means they're going to have to bring about some changes in their habits and in their very highly desired activities. But nevertheless, they do know that the message has been given. Whether they receive it or not, that's their obligation. Our obligation is to give the message, and that we try to do if we're faithful to God. And that's exactly what Ezekiel was to do here. So in verse 6, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And he's warning Ezekiel that they're not going to receive this. They're not going to be receptive to your message and to you. They're going to give you some fierce looks. You're going to be dwelling among briars and scorpions. You're not in a field that's a receptive field and it's going to listen to your prophecies and laud you and obey and do a lot of changing. These people are going to be very slow to receive what you have to say, if they receive it at all. They're going to give you some fierce looks. They're going to try to make you afraid to continue. They're going to intimidate you every way that they possibly can. But he says, "Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed by their looks, though they be a rebellious house." You continue on what you know to do is right. And you know, many is the time, I'm sure, of all of God's faithful people, when we see that we're going to have to do something different from the crowd around about us. We're going to have to walk a different path from the herd in some things that we do and some things that we believe and teach. We breathe a little faster. Our heart beats a little faster. We're a little bit skeptical and not so sure of ourselves because we're having to go against the common ideas of the day and the looks that we're going to have and the words that are going to be said about us and to us are things that we're intimidated by if we're not careful. But he tells Ezekiel, "Do not be afraid of their words or be dismayed by their looks, though they be a rebellious house." You go about the things that you know are right. You do what you know has to be done. Verse 7, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." Doesn't matter whether they receive it or not, Ezekiel. You speak the message. Give the message. Do your job. Whether they hear or not, you go ahead and do your job. Now, you know, it's easy to give a message when people like it. They applaud it. They praise you for giving it. And they're ever so receptive to it. Then that's easy. And as a matter of fact, it'd be hard not to give a message if people are receiving it. But where they're not receiving it, where they rebel against it, where they're going to turn against you for giving it to them, then that is truly a time that is difficult to go ahead and teach what we know is right. Now, while this was happening to Ezekiel over in Babylon, among those who were the captives, the same thing was happening to Jeremiah, who was still in Jerusalem and who was teaching the same thing that Ezekiel was teaching, that God was going to bring destruction upon them if they didn't repent. Jeremiah was having the same problems. The people were turned against him. They didn't want to hear this message. They were deriding him, giving him fierce looks, putting him in prison and so on. And so in Jeremiah 20, we see how Jeremiah feels about this. He says, beginning in the 7th verse, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." See, the only message Isaiah had was the message that they had to repent. They were going to be destroyed. They were going to be given violence. The nation was going to be overthrown. That was the only message Isaiah had. He wanted to talk about something else. But the only message God gave him was this message that they were going to be destroyed. He said, "I cry this daily. I made a reproach. I'm a derision." Then he goes on to say in verse 9, "Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah decided, I'm going to retire from the prophecy. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's bringing about so much pain on me. It's bringing about so much discomfort. I'm just going to get out of the prophesying business. I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. He goes on to say, though, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Oh, this word of God was in Jeremiah's heart. It was there like a fire. So I couldn't quit, he said. I had to go ahead. I had to continue with my work as the prophet of God. And truly these people in Jerusalem, although they didn't receive what Jeremiah had to say, Jeremiah's message was a wearying message. They knew there was a prophet among them. And let's stress the point that that should be said of us today. We're not prophets in that sense, but we truly are reflectors of God's Word. And although the world may not like to hear it, our message is going to be the same. There has to be repentance. God is not going to be pleased with the idolatry of the people, with the ways of the people. He has never liked it, and He never will like it. And our message has to be the same. You must repent. You must change. You must realize that you're doing wrong here. And it's an old message. After a while, we'd like to say some real good things about, oh, how nice you people are, and how God's going to be pleased with you, and how you're all going to be saved by doing these things that you're doing. But the message is not that. That's not the truth. And so it was with Ezekiel and Jeremiah. So in the 8th verse of this second chapter of Ezekiel, he says, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee." Now, regardless of whether or not you like it, Ezekiel, or whether or not the people like it, you hear what I say unto thee. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm giving you the message. You listen to it. And he tells Ezekiel that if you're rebellious, you'll be no better than those round about you. If you don't do what I say, if you don't give the message that I want you to give, you'll be like those round about you that you're prophesying against and about. You're going to also be rebellious. And so it's not a matter of choice, Ezekiel. You're either going to do what I say, or you're going to be like those people. And you're going to get the same fate that they have in store for them. So he says, "Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee." That is, you make it a part of you. You have it eaten and digested so that it becomes a part of you. As Jeremiah said, "Thy word was burning in my bones. I couldn't stop. I had to continue to give the message." Let's make it a part of us. Let's make it truly a part of our mind, a part of our heart, a part of our belief, a part of our body. And that's what he wants in his word. "Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee." You know, when we eat something and our body digests it, it becomes a part of us. It's a part of our flesh, a part of our bones, a part of our blood, a part of our mind. And that's what he wants his word to be to Ezekiel. Verse 9, Ezekiel says, "And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein." So a hand was handing him a book. In that day and time, the books were written on rolls of skins. And so the book was handed to him. The roll of a book was therein. Here was the message. Here was the will of God. Here was the thing that God wanted to tell him and wanted him to eat, wanted him to make a part of him. Verse 10, "And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without." Now, usually these rolls are written just on one side, and when you would unroll it, the message was on one side, and the other side would be blank. But this book was filled up. It was written on both sides, within and without, so that it was full of the message of God, and also implying that it was the complete message. God wasn't holding anything back that he wanted his people to know. He was giving it all to Ezekiel, the book written on both sides, within and without. "And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Oh, it wasn't a pleasing message. It wasn't a nice little flowery speech. There was lamentation and mourning and woe. This message was a message telling the people of their destruction, of their doom, if they did not repent, if they did not turn, if they did not make some drastic changes in their lives. You know, nobody likes to make changes. Everybody likes to keep things going just like it is. They've usually taken the path of least resistance, which is, in the case of water, you know, always downhill. And consequently, they don't want to change. They don't want to improve anything. They don't want to do that that's going to be harder to do. And so this message of Ezekiel, though, was one of lamentation and mourning and woe, which means that they must change or they were going to be utterly destroyed. And Ezekiel didn't have any good message to give either, as Jeremiah. He spent some 6 years giving this message of doom before he could finally get to the point that he could teach them about restoration and the promise then of a new Israel. He first of all had to get them to change. And you know, as long as people haven't repented, as long as people haven't changed, it's always appropriate to continue to give the message then requiring that they change, the message of repentance. Somebody says, well, why do you keep talking about repentance? Well, because you haven't repented yet. When you repent, then we talk about something else. But first things first, repentance comes first. And so the message has to be lamentations and mourning and woe because the condition of the people demanded it. We're now ready to start the third chapter of Ezekiel. And this is a continuation of the second chapter. Remember now, Ezekiel just been handed this roll of a book by this hand, and it was spread before him and written on both sides, and the message there was lamentation, mourning, and woe. Verse 1 of chapter 3, moreover he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So he tells Ezekiel to eat the roll, and what is meant by that is that Ezekiel is to make it a part of him. He's to learn about it. He's to study it. He's to know it. He's to actually ingest this roll, eat the roll, and go speak into the house of Israel. And true it is, when we're talking about the Word of God, it is to become a part of us. It is to become a part of our mind, a part of our heart. It's to be written in the heart, in the fleshy tables of the heart, as he speaks of in 2 Corinthians 3. It is not to be just some superficial message that we happen to have studied a little bit on the night before. Now we're going to tell it to somebody else. It's to become a part of us. And we're to eat it in that figurative sense. And then go speak unto the house of Israel. Then go tell it to somebody else. Learn it first yourself. Then tell somebody else. And it's the same principle as get the beam out of your own eye before you start to take the mote out of somebody else's eye. You apply these things to yourself. You make it a part of you. Then go speak to the house of Israel. Verse 2, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. So it's not enough just to read or superficially know, but he said, go ahead and swallow it. You fill your belly. You fill your bowels. You make it a part of your most innermost self. This roll is to become a part of you. It's to become part of your bone, part of your flesh, part of your every action, a part of your every breath. And so, here again, it's not just enough to superficially read over and skim over the Bible. We need to go ahead and get the context and make a true application and to know what the real meaning of the Bible is, and each verse that we teach. And how sad it is to see someone who's pretending to teach the Bible, and they really get up and they read a little verse, and they call that the text of their lesson, and then they go and give this elaborate speech that they've concocted up, and they say nothing really about the text. They do not get to the context of the verse of Scripture that they read about which the lesson is supposed to be teaching. They just leave it right there. And they could spend the whole lesson on that one verse or on that one passage if they just would do it. But they get away from it. They haven't really digested this. They have not swallowed it. It's not in their belly. It's not in their bowels. They just chewed it up a little bit, and then it seems that they spit it out. And that's not what God wants. He said, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Jeremiah speaks along this same line in Jeremiah 15, verse 16. He says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So Jeremiah speaks of eating the word. And it's a figurative description of a person actually enjoying and consuming the Word of God. Again, in Revelation 10, verses 9 through 11, a very similar thing happened to John in his vision there. He says, beginning in verse 9 of Revelation 10, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Showing there to John that he would take the word of God, and that he would eat it, and he would, after it become a part of him, he would prophesy to the nations and peoples and kings and tongues. But when it was first put in his mouth, it was sweet, but when it got to the belly, it was bitter. That is the ultimate message here, this message of doom and destruction upon those that are committing sin, and the message that's directed to God's people who have been disobedient. That is a bitter message. It is one that is not pleasant for us to have to tell to somebody else, when we have to approach somebody else and let them know that the course of action they're now taking is one that's going to lead them to death and destruction and doom. It is a course of sin. It is one that must be turned from and repented of. That's bitter. And so it was with Ezekiel. It's not said in this very verse, but in verse 14 he speaks of going in bitterness. When he first ate it in his mouth, it was as honey for sweetness. But then the message was one of those messages that was so difficult to have to tell to others. The vision was so difficult for Ezekiel to accept. And he had to do it for such a long period of time, for years and years, at least 6 years, before he could ever start talking about anything good, that it really would then turn him into bitterness. That is, it was a hard pill to swallow, so to speak. Nevertheless, that phase of his prophecy was just as necessary as it was for him then to be able to tell about the good times when they would be allowed to return back to Jerusalem. Our time has expired. We'll close at that point. Thank you.